But, you know, when we focus on sports, I mean, late yesterday afternoon, I don't know how I first discovered it. And it's not like this, you know, it's not like trading, if you traded Roger Clemens, when Clemens went to Toronto, or even like Mookie Betts to L.A., it's not quite that. But it's stunning when the Boston Red Sox sweep the New York Yankees. They've won five of the last six against the team that is clearly the best team in the AL East, probably the best team in the American League, and arguably one of the top two or three teams in all of baseball. They're finally over 500, and then we find out they trade their best hitter. It's classic stuff. And if you follow the show, you know that we just celebrated our 200th episode of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. And I co-host it with John Senecal, who is the creator of the podcast. And huge, huge baseball fan, lifer as a Yankee fan. And I just thought it'd be good to check in with John. First of all, I mean, I wanted to check in general. I mean, we're going to record a podcast later this morning that'll drop, and we'll talk about this stuff in more detail. But, I mean, first of all, can we just talk about the series? I mean, how did you feel about your Yankees producing four runs in three games in Boston?
Yeah, well, it was more like the Yankees in the 2024 World Series, where they kind of fell asleep and let their weaknesses show, right, Brian? You know, bad base running, just, you know, not into the game. And, yes, not hitting. Aaron Judge, obviously slumping. He had that one big home run. But, you know, the Red Sox have the Yankees number. Like we said on the podcast, the Yankees beat them last season series, and obviously they swept them. I mean, Yankees and Mets get swept for the first time this season over the weekend. And the Yankees, obviously, I feel like that's a gut punch to them. They got to wake up. And hopefully they do.
And, I mean, so you're not – there's no big picture concerns for you, correct?
No, not right now. Obviously, you know, every baseball team's going to go through issues throughout the season. The Yankees have done it the last two seasons, even when they were playing good and bad to start out the season. They had slumps. So I'm always cautious about the slump, and I'm cautious about the lead dwindling. But the Yankees are set as long as there's no injuries for the long haul. They got good, you know, hopefully Heel will come back. The pitching has been relatively healthy. They need more players around Judge. They need more people to stay hot. And if Aaron Judge cools down and other players aren't hot, you're going to be looking at a real dogfight.
So what did you think about the Devers deal? As a non-Red Sox fan looking at this whole scenario, from the player to the clubhouse to the manager to the GM to the ownership, like what's your take?
So, you know, I feel like the whole situation was handled bad from the start, obviously. But, I mean, I would guess that this whole thing probably started when the owner of the team went to Kansas City to meet with him, and then he kind of dug in his heels and doubled down, basically, and then turned his focus on making it against pretty much him and Breslow, which, in the grand scheme of things, is the front office. So I would guess that once Henry left that meeting, and he was basically saying, you know, this guy's got to go. And the good thing is, Brian, you know, the Red Sox, I guess, give Chaim Bloom credit for this, that there was a no trade clause in his contract. So they were able to deal him everywhere, which also obviously raised a question because of his contract. So they needed a player, they needed a team that had money to spend. And it's a great team that had money to spend. And the Giants were perfect to get rid of him.
You know, it's funny. I've had a bunch of people reach out and be like, well, we sent you Pablo Sandoval, so you're sending us Rafi Devers. And my only response is that I think Devers is a little bit better, but they both like to eat. I'm curious where you get this, the meeting when John Henry went out. Is that something you read? Because you're the second or third person that's mentioned that. I don't even know that we know, like, did they go out there to convince him to make the change or just to try to stroke his ego?
Well, I thought it was more of like, you know, this is an organization thing. We're paying you $300-something million contract. You need to live up to that contract. You know, maybe you're not the face of this franchise, you know, vocally, we know that, but you have an obligation. If we need you to play first base, or if we need you to go back to third base, or if we need you to be the DH, you know, this was before the whole first base thing even started. You know, remember, Casas was still playing. This is when the whole DH situation was going on. So, you know, he has been sour grapes from the start. I will give Rafi Devers some credit in this because, like I said, the Red Sox haven't handled this good from the start, bringing Alex Bregman in and kind of blindsiding him. But listen, this is a salary dump. This is a sour grapes dump. It's good for both teams. The Red Sox get rid of a player that they know is going to be a one-dimensional player for the eight more years. They dump his contract. They'll take some backlash from the fans because he's playing very well. He's hitting very well. But listen, you can turn that money now and maybe focus on a Durant extension or maybe focus on locking up Alex Bregman. Let's remember, you know, Red Sox fans, Alex Bregman is not obligated to this team after the season. He is on one-year deals.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, because let me ask a quick question on that. If they lose Bregman, then the whole thing is like – kind of wasted because then they don't have a third baseman. But from an outsider's perspective, because there's a lot of Sox fans who just are so mad at the organization, but yet they've won four World Series in this century. Like, from your perspective, does the franchise seem like a joke?
I think just given the fact that it's had this performance over the last few years, yes. But I don't look at this as trading like a Mookie Betts or someone. I look at this as a plus for the Red Sox because you're dumping an issue. You're dumping a drama. You're dumping a player that's one-dimensional. So I would think, you know, another month, this will all shake out. Remember, the Red Sox are only a half game out of the wild card, all right? So this team is not done. And this is with Rafael Devers playing. So now you get these guys, Anthony and these other guys, that are going to be in the lineup now. They're going to play and they're going to have to perform. So let's see. Let's see what happens with the Red Sox. And again, ownership, if you're near the deadline and you're in it, you know, what are they going to do? Will they try to help the team? It's going to be an interesting question.
You assume Cora was not involved in this, correct?
No, I don't think so. I think Cora knew about it, but I think he's been playing it coy all along and just kind of stepped back and just said, he's our DH. I'm sure he knew all along that something's brewing. At least in the last week or so. But like I said, I think this started going south when the owner got the bad reception from him.
Interesting. He's John Senecal. We co-host the Fan Base Podcast. We'll have a new episode 201, dropping later this morning. Thanks for the time, John. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Take care, Brett.